I would say the biggest factor was the VA home loan, hands down, because even though you get the ideas, without that ticket, there's no way into the party, so to speak. You know what I mean? Having that no money down loan, that's huge. I mean, we're just set up for success.
Hey, freedom fighters. Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast, the only place where military members, veterans, and their families learn how to build wealth through real estate investing. I'm your host, Mike Foster, and I'm here to show you how to stop wasting your benefits. Now get off your ass, step up to the firing line, and make ready for today's lesson. Shooter standby.
Have you ever wondered why some people always seem to be more successful than others in life? Maybe they are more productive, happier, or even wealthier, or all of the above.
The truth is that most successful people take time to plot their course in life by setting specific, actionable, and attainable goals. But more importantly, they have an accountability system in place.
That's why Tim Kelly and I are so proud to announce the release of ADPI's 13-Week Action Journal.
We spent countless hours and poured our blood, sweat, and tears into this journal to ensure that you not only have a daily reminder of your 1,000-meter target, but you will be equipped with a system that will propel you towards your goals faster than you ever thought possible.
Click the link in this episode's show notes to take advantage of a special one-time offer just for our faithful podcast listeners today.
Look, bottom line, if you aren't willing to write down, track, and implement an accountability system for your goals, you don't deserve to achieve them. Click that link, get started today, and take advantage of this limited time offer now.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Active Duty Passive Income Podcast. Here we are again with another awesome and incredible guest. He's a military real estate investor, Andre Acosta from Southern California. What's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on the show.
Dude, we are excited to have you, man. This is great. We're going to get into how Andre has been able to, you know, while in the military, right? Yeah, start investing and start small with, well, not even really small, go right into small multifamily, right? Fourplexes that he's house hacked up in the Wyoming area. We're going to talk about it, and I'm super excited, but we're also going to get into something, you know, something that people don't really think about, right? Because you're in the military, right? And you're going to talk about how we can do military and investing, but from the recruiting aspect, right? When you're in the reserves, how you're able to, you know, not only do and focus on this mission, right, but also be successful at an ulterior mission, right? We're going to get into a little bit about, you know, COVID and how this year has provided a lot of opportunities for entrepreneurs to work, you know, at home. We're going to get into a lot of good stuff on this podcast. I'm excited about it. So let's just, without further ado, get right into it, brother. Andre, can you tell us a little bit about your military background and how you got started in investing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a technical sergeant in the California Air National Guard, also known as the Air Guard, right? And overall, I've been in the Air Force 18 years, so it's been a minute. Yeah, that's 13 years active duty and 5 years in the Guard. I love the Guard. I remember the first time I met a guardsman when I was active duty Air Force, I was like, I didn't know it could get as chill as it is. You know, and
yes,
and now I'm in it, and I love that about it. As far as the real estate side, I've owned 6 properties, and primarily through the VA home loan house hack. And now I just started purchasing a 4-unit as an investor without the VA home loan house hack. So that's a change in my strategy. So now I'm moving on from that, and I'm just purchasing 4 units for cash flow. So that's my process right now.
Nice. Okay. Got it. That's cool, man. All right. So I get it. So you were house hacking previously, and then you got into 4 units by buying them just as a traditional investor. Is that right?
Right. About 2 properties ago, I did a house hack that was a 4-unit, and that's interesting too. I mean, we could talk about that. Living with your tenants, right, in separate units,
oh, yeah,
and the challenges and whatnot. But we can get into that.
Cool. Well, let's do it, man. What gave you that bug? What was that first thing that said, hey, real estate is for me? I think this is something I can try and dabble in.
You know, when I look back at it, I think a little bit of family influence and then a combination of, you know, the VA home loan. When I joined the military 18 years ago, I didn't really know what the VA home loan is. So we're all very fortunate to have that. We've been armed for success in real estate. And then, of course, the little bit of education with the purple book, so to speak, the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that, you know, I think those three things came together. And little by little, over the years, I've been learning. My pace is about 1 to 2 units per PCS, which is permanent change of station. And that's kind of a rhythm that I feel like I can do while having a full-time job, being in the military, and then also as a real estate investor. And that's been comfortable for me to learn and grow and, you know, take on more responsibility over the years.
Yeah. And it sounds like, Andre, you and I seem to have gotten our start very similar, because I started off house hacking a quadplex and then bought another quadplex. And it sounds like that's exactly what you did, except I did mine in Georgia and you did yours in Wyoming. So can we talk about why a quadplex? What, like, was that your first real estate investment? And if so, why a quadplex versus a traditional single family house with regards to the house hacking strategy?
Gotcha. Yeah. So it wasn't my first, because I think at first it's a bit intimidating, right? You're like, you know, having all these tenants. You know, if you would have told me I would have 4 units at all in the beginning, I would have thought like, wow, that's impressive. I'll be a millionaire. I'll be driving a fancy car, you know, Ferrari. my first was actually a house hack where I went in with a partner and we got a townhouse, and then we just rented out the other rooms. We rented out the extra room, and I was a young E4, E5 at the time, just becoming an NCO, a sergeant. Now, when I got into the 4-unit side, I think I'd been comfortable as an NCO where I'm already managing people, you know, in charge of other people. So I was comfortable with that aspect. And I started to just ask myself, like, what's the envelope of the VA home loan that I can push? You know, it's a 1-unit, you know, duplex, triplex, fourplex. And the answer to that question for me in that market was the fourplex. And the first one was a leap. And eventually another nice thing about the fourplex is a lot more cash flow to go around compared to a single unit. So after being a landlord for that 4-unit for about a year or so, I decided that I wanted to have a property manager manage it for me. That's when life got good. That's when, then I could sit back and just collect checks. And so now I'm just repeating that process. So it's one step at a time, definitely learning through the different hurdles and what I'm comfortable with.
Love that, man. Good. That's good stuff. So, So can you talk to us about challenges that you faced while you were, getting started and getting scaled? Yeah. I see. Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges.
So I love. Fine. I didn't have any challenges. Right? It was fine.
It was just easy, right? It was easy. I love breaking it down a little bit, because we have so many people that listen to this and they've never bought a property at all, right? They have no idea what the process is like. They don't understand what challenges you could face. So you could just share with us some of the challenges you faced when you're starting.
Yeah, I think first is the confidence factor. So like ADPI or any education source is super helpful to build that confidence. And then, once you get in it, of course, there's the financing side. So making yourself applicable to get financing, even the VA home loan, your debt to income ratio has to come into place. You got to understand the math. And when you start to move away from the VA home loan, which I finally had my first conventional loan, I had to put 20% down. So I had to put down $65K, and I was like, man, I've never bought anything or put anything down to that extent. And so I was like, I could have bought a Corvette for that, again, being wise enough to not buy a Corvette and instead think long-term, that was one. But then you get the tenant horror stories. Right. And I think that's part of the game, of course. The one that keeps hitting in my head is I had a tenant who was taking other tenants. I mean, he was taking other tenants' clothes from the laundry.
And what?
And we didn't, it was a community laundry, right? And we didn't find out until the property manager was the one who figured this out, because I had already PCS at the time and went to back to California. But yeah, it was just getting through that. And what it is that tenant, when they left, they left all their stuff and just disappeared. And so our property manager had to clean up the mess, and they found other
all the missing clothes. Right. Oh, no, that's crazy, man.
That is wild. That,
it is. And but on the math side,
was he stealing like opposite sexes clothes? Like, if he was a dude, was he stealing like women's clothes and stuff? Like, is it getting really weird? Because it sounds like it's getting really weird.
That's what it was. And I didn't want to go that deep into it. Yeah,
God, that is so gross and creepy. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Well, all
right. That's people, right? Hmm. There's always stuff like that. I think, again, thinking back to being a supervisor in the Air Force, you know, we all have troops that are very different from one another. One might be a rock star. One may need some help in other areas. I think it's just managing people, connecting with people, taking care of them. Those tenants in particular, I thought I was cool with them. I didn't realize what they were. I think it was one brother behind the door. He's a big gamer, and he was more into that side. But I remember, like, Thanksgiving, we made them a meal. We made them plates, food. Like, I thought we were cool, and I just realized this whole side of them, you know. But that's just part of the game, so to speak. I mean, the math side, the nice thing with the 4-unit, the other 3 units were still going. So even though they skipped rent that month, I didn't take that much of a hit. It was very minor. And you know what I mean? With a 4-unit, it's very forgiving. So the mortgage payments were still made. We were still making cash flow. Everything was all good. And that part I really loved. That's when, like I said, it got good. The property manager told me this. I was like, wow, that's crazy, blah, 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 blah. But she took care of it. And we still were positive that month because of the cash flow from the other units. So it's just part of the game.
Good.
That brings up bring up a really good point.
See, you asked the question, Mike.
Hey, bro. I'm telling you.
We asked, you answered.
Yeah. That's it, man. And we hear plenty of stuff, but you know, every once in a while we'll get something that's just like completely way left. And that's what this is for sure. But it's good though. Because you know what? Honestly, like guys, you will experience challenges in all forms, right? And some of them might not even be real challenges. Like, it sounds to me like this was a challenge for sure, like social challenge. But as far as cash flow, right, you guys, you know, you had a manager that was there to help, you know, you where you work through it. So it wasn't like it was a heavy burden on you to really deal with. It's just like, whoa, right? Like, that's something that's crazy. So you'll run into the gamut, just like Andre said. People are people, right? Society. You have all like the really awesome folks, and you got all the really weird folks, you know, that you may experience, and it's cool. But hey, listen, we're in the game, you know, of numbers, and as long as the numbers work, like Andre said, right, that's at the end of the day what is what's going to work for you. So I love that, man. Can I ask you something, man? Did you have a property manager while you were living in that 4-unit, right, when you were house hacking that 4-unit that you said, or did you just manage it yourself?
Initially, I managed it myself, and there was it's a kind of low income, so I mean I had to literally knock on doors to collect checks too. So and then sometimes there were late checks or you know different things. I had you know different problems that arise in anything. I think in any company, I think if you want to be a leader, you have to problem solve quickly, right? So I found that it was a good experience because it gave me the reality of what was going on and the situation. And then it made me think about how do I streamline this? How do I make it smoother, faster, where I can scale it? And a property manager was the answer. And life is good since I made that decision.
Yeah.
Nice.
You brought up a lot of points, Andre. And I'd say, you know, always when you're buying a property, I don't care if you're listening to this and you're buying a single family home, that's going to be a rental. You know, you always want to buy a property. We say it all the time that you can rent out later, right? But if you're buying a duplex or a small multi, whatever, always factor into your numbers, to your underwriting, the cost of property management. Because at some point, even if you want to be the best property management on planet Earth, if you want to scale this into a real business for yourself that can feed your, you know, fund your retirement and feed your family and build that generational wealth, you just can't, you can't be focused on fixing toilets or solving, you know, clothes robbers or like solving these mysteries. Like, you just don't have time for that because, like Mike said, people are people and they're going to do weird things. And that's why you hire a property manager who's a professional at dealing with these people, and they're your professional problem solver. And then the other thing you brought up is vacancy. You know, and I experienced this full time. When COVID hit, I lost 3 out of 4 of my tenants in one of my quadplexes. I was still able to make the mortgage. And you know, I wasn't cash flowing, but I lost the tenants because, you know, COVID happened and we were going through renovations and the whole thing. Since then, we're good now. We're back. We're cash flowing and it's great. But, you know, if you lose, you know, if you have a single family home rental and you lose a tenant, there ain't no way. Like, you're paying the mortgage. That's how it's going down.
100% vacancy. Like, no one's living
exactly. There. 100%
vacancy. If you lose, you know, one tenant in a quadplex, you still got 75%. If you lose two tenants, you still got 50%. So depending on how you're underwriting these deals, and if you're conservative enough, you can still be okay. Like Andre's saying, that's why I love preaching economies of scale. It's so, so powerful. And I just really wanted to chime in on that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kevin. And one thing comes to mind too, when COVID hit and there was kind of a rent eviction hold, right? So as every landlord, there's some concerns there. I reached back out to my landlord and asked them, what's the plan? Like, what are we thinking? And they already had a letter drafted that they sent out to everybody to tell them that, you know, do your best to pay the rent first before you pay any other bills. And then, you know, fast forward 3-4 months later, I asked for an update on what's going on. And they said, you know, that the, I want to say it was the eviction and moratorium had been lifted in that area. And that they, because they were managing about 300 other units, right? They had already, they were comfortable doing evictions. They were doing them at that moment in other 4 units or other multifamily property. So just to have that reassurance, you know, that 9% that I pay every month for a property manager, I was like, it's worth every penny. I even got a Christmas card too. I was
there you go. Even got a Christmas card. Let's go.
I was like, man, worth every penny.
Love it, man. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about, you know, your perspective and how you've been able to balance managing these assets. And also, you know, if you can give us a little insight as to how you did it pre-COVID and right, because that pretty much has established a clear line of, you know, time, right, that people have available to themselves. So before, I'm sure you probably didn't have as much time available, but now as people are working from home more, tell us a little about how you've been able to manage these assets while in the military, pre and post COVID.
One thing that I've loved about joining the Air Guard is you get a lot more time. Now, coming from active duty, I was at a point in my life where, you know, I wanted something a little bit different. I was a little bit burnt out from the pace of active duty. You know, active duty has a path for you. It's going fast. And unless you take control of it, they'll reach you to, they'll take you from basic training to retirement. And you might be like, that time flew by. But joining the Guard put more time in my pocket, so to speak, where, you know, it's primarily part-time. So I had time to focus on my family, my investments, you know, things that I prioritized, my happiness. I got to be where I want to be. So again, I'm in Southern California, which is, you know, where my support network is, my, you know, grandparents for the kiddos and, you know, our family. And then also I love the beach. Through being in active duty and stationed in different places, I love being close to the water. So this is the exact place I wanted to be. There's no snow to shovel, things like that when I wake up to go to work.
And you chose that, right? Like, I also want to highlight that you chose that duty station, right?
Exactly. So that's kind of like why they say the Air Guard is like the best kept secret in the military. You get to choose the exact location you want to be stationed at. You control your PCSs. So with that control, I had the time to balance what I prioritize. So that being family and real estate and my own happiness. I think now, being that I'm not PCSing as much, because the problem with PCSing, you know, in active duty, you don't always go where you want to go, and then you're having to readjust each time. You know, I gotta, if as a real estate investor, I gotta learn this new market. I might have to meet new contractors, meet new property managers, relearn it. But now, because I'm exactly where I want to be and for as long as I want to be, like, I don't have to PCS at all. I can focus on what I want to focus. So whether that's investing locally or investing out of state, I, you know, it's just taking control of my time.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Nice. So yeah. What was COVID like? How did that shift happen for you when COVID went down?
I think,
like, as far as your work schedule, like, were you working only from home now, and were there other things that you were able to do and implement in your business? Like, what? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I for me, for my work, as so I'm a recruiter for the California Air Guard, so we can work remotely, and so we pivoted fairly easily, and so I do work from home, or I can work from the office, or we have all the digital tools we need to communicate.
So you've been working from home like this entire time, dude. That is incredible, man. How do I sign up for the Air Guard in SoCal? That's awesome. You get to serve, build retirement.
Actually, this isn't a podcast interview. This is Andre's interviewing Mike for the job.
Hey, let's go, man.
Officers, lots. You know, we're always looking for leaders. Yeah. But each job's different, and the nice part, I think, is as being a guardsman, a lot of our guys from our base got to participate locally. So in California, you know, we're the most populated state in America. So we got a lot of guys on COVID orders where they're working at food banks and able to provide food for, you know, so people don't have to expose themselves. They don't have to be out and about as much, going to grocery stores. And then also the civil unrest, which we had a couple months ago, a lot of our guys got put on orders to back up recently. Law enforcement. You know, we had some of our guys guarding the convention center, Staples Center. Those are Staples Center. Lakers won. Mm-hmm. They're champions this year. So those are big moments. And kind of cool in the military. Staples Center. Staples Center, man. Go Lakers.
LeBron's house. You must protect it.
Yeah. I think we're going for a repeat too.
That's right. There you go.
That was the professional side. That was my work pace. But as far as the real estate side, I think the property manager, she did all the heavy lifting. Again, the checks kept coming, and it was just consistent. You know, I think this time frame has given all of us time to reflect and kind of, you know, pause from our usual pace of work. And so with that extra time, it's a lot that we can, you know, reinvest into ourselves, whether, you know, that could be reading about real estate or stocks or whatever you want to do. I think we all got a little bit more time on our plate and maybe a little bit more money if we're fortunate enough to keep our jobs, you know, instead of, because we're not going out as much, maybe there's a little bit more money to be reinvested. So some unique opportunities. Every recession is like that. You know, it's a reset.
Yeah. Now that's really powerful as well, Andre. I'm curious though, you know, you said you started as an E4, and I think that is incredible. That's absolutely incredible for you to have the foresight to be that young and to be that smart about your finances. Because, I mean, I didn't figure this out until I was like 28, you know, like I was buying dumb stuff. Like, I was a professional at buying dumb stuff. and like, you know, years, you know, young, you know, started as an E4 going in and house hacking. I mean, that's incredible. So like, where did that all come from? Is that you grow up around this, around real estate? Is it in your family? Or did you just like read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and just completely reset your life?
Yes. So Kevin, I was like you too. I was doing both. I was doing a little bit of real estate and a lot of buying dumb stuff.
Yes.
Thank God for the real estate. At least I was buying that. My first property was age 23. And
wow.
I would say the biggest factor was the VA home loan, hands down. Because even though you get the ideas, without that ticket, there's no way into the party, so to speak. You know what I mean? Having that no money down loan, that's huge. I mean, we're just set up for success. So that, I think, gave me a ticket to see what was possible. And then little by little, I've been trying to get smarter at it, with my investments. And it's a learning process, of course, you know, how fast people can adjust, how much they can learn, things like that. And it's been a while now. So I think I've been in real estate a little bit over 11 years, 12 years or so, wow. You know, doing real estate. So definitely, each property is a different journey.
How do you become a successful military real estate investor? It starts with having a strong squad and trustworthy mortgage broker by your side. Hey guys, Kevin here. I wanted to take a quick break from the show to help you fill out your real estate investment dream team. Whether you're looking to fund your first VA house hack, close on an out-of-state turnkey investment, or just have a conversation with a lender who speaks your language, make sure you reach out to ADPI's team of qualified mortgage pros. With a full range of tailored lending options, our team is standing by to provide active duty service members, veterans, and military families just like you all the advice and resources you need to close on your first or next investment opportunity. Click the link in this episode's show notes or simply text DEAL, D-E-A-L, to 33777 to get connected today. Now, let's get back to the show.
The VA home loan, I mean, the biggest thing that you dropped already, Andre, that the nugget that you dropped was that you can purchase up to a 4-unit property with your VA home loan. That blew my mind because I didn't even, when I was starting, I didn't even understand what a unit was, what a door, like I knew what a door was, but you know, like when someone explained it to me and they said, you live in one, you have three tenants around you, do exactly what Andre did, three tenants around you, they're paying your mortgage, plus they're paying you all, you know, cash flow, extra cash. That concept blew my mind. And using your VA home loan, having, like you said, that ticket into the party is just incredible. And if you're out there and you're listening to this right now, all you got to do is if you're driving, don't do this. But if you're listening to this, text DEAL to 33777, and that will hook you up, man. We got you. We'll get you the help you need if you want to look into actually using your VA loan to get a quadplex or whatever. You know, we got a whole financial team that'll be there to help you and give you what you need. So, but yeah, Andre, I mean, it's been like you're watching your journey and starting out so young. It's just super inspiring. And before we go into the bonus round, I really wanted you to dig in, if you don't mind, of course, the numbers on like, tell me about this VA quad, like, because everyone always talks about like, oh yeah, like great, he's cash flowing and all this stuff. But what does that actually mean? Do you mind breaking down like numbers on that?
Sure. And I'm really simple with it. I'm not too advanced with it, which it's like that one acronym, keep it simple. Yeah. That's how I like. So yeah.
Keep it simple, right?
Yeah. So I just did the 1% rule when I was shopping. And so I bought it for $240, and you know, I was like, let me see here. So if it's $240K, I need to be making to at least $2,400 a month gross rents, right? Mm-hmm. And that should all be kind of in the listing too. When you're shopping, they should have that information readily available. And this particular property, I think at the time was only doing like $2,300, so it was a value add. My plan was to to add value to the properties and each unit little by little, and maybe push rents. So don't be intimidated right off the gate if it's not producing. Right. At 1% in the 1% rule, but eventually now it's doing 2,700. Did a couple of tweets, and we'll just keep climbing. I don't want to raise rents during COVID. Yeah. You know, it's a little bit harsh, but definitely wanted to add value. We did renovations. Mm-hmm. We put in a new laundry unit, and you know, just did what we could to increase value. And then that's also the plan with a new 4-unit that I got. This new one I was able to get for $230K, and it's doing a little bit better. It's already past 1%. I bought it at about $2,450 gross rents. Mm-hmm. So that one's a little bit better. I kind of knew what to look for this time around. And also an interesting segue, I was able to use a TSP loan to get a big chunk of down payment. So,
and then you pay yourself back. That's a great strategy. Dude, yeah, we have time. Let's talk about that, because that is a very little known strategy that you can do to take a loan on your own TSP. So yeah, break that down, Andre. How'd that go down?
Yeah. So I needed for this last 4-unit, which was $230K. I needed 25% down. So after closing costs, I came to be about $65K. And I'm like, wow, where do I get $65K? You know, I'm really trying to buy a Corvette right now. Corvette in Wyoming in the snow, it's not a good time. So I started looking at different savings accounts or where I had money, and I had some money in my TSP, you know, over the years. You know, when you first join, they're always like, just invest in TSP, just invest in TSP. And I thank that person who told me that, because now when I needed it, you know, a decade later, it was there. And because of COVID, I think I want to say it's a SAFE Act. You can actually pull out a big chunk of it. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just went to the website, plugged it out, and plugged in what I needed to. And then there's a check that came in like a week later. And it was kind of scary because it's like a $40,000 check coming in the mail. But it came, wow. And then, yeah, the rest is history.
But it's nice.
So that was kind of nice because that enabled that purchase. Otherwise, it would have been pretty hard to pull off.
And it's like pretty low interest, right? On this.
There you go. And so.
I'm sorry. It's pretty low interest, right?
Yeah, it's. So the interest you're paying back to yourself, I want to say it's like 0.05% interest, so less than a percent interest. You're basically borrowing your own money.
And something then the cool insane
part about it is, unlike a HELOC, home equity line of credit, or some other loans that would go against your debt to income ratio or your ability to get a loan, because you're borrowing your own money, it's a lot like a 401k loan. So it doesn't go against your debt to income ratio at all, because you're borrowing your own money. That's helpful.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's interesting.
Exactly. You're borrowing your own money, right? So even if you never paid it back, well, then at that point you just take the penalty for borrowing or for pulling your money early from your retirement plan, right? So yeah, it's not only that, but then and a lot of people too. This is one of the things that we get when we talk about this, because believe it or not, this is a very controversial topic, right? Mm. Why would you ever touch your TSP? That's your retirement. Blah blah blah, guys. Okay, the money doesn't just disappear forever. Like, you're taking the TSP, what you have, that money from your TSP, and you're putting it into another investment, right? So now the $40,000 that you pulled, Andre, from your TSP is now in your property, and you bought this how long ago?
This was recent,
right?
October.
This was like this past year?
The deal closed in October. So it's been a couple months. And the ROI is a bit higher,
so,
too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, your ROI is extremely high. I mean, you're already, you know, you said you've raised the rents up, you know, a little bit to where it's over 1%. So now you're cash flowing on that money, probably a lot stronger than you were in your TSP. But not only that, over the life of the time that you hold your property is going to appreciate. So you're making money as a return month after month on the $40,000 that you just invested into this property, not spent,
exactly.
Invested, right? And then, you know, it's going to appreciate over time. So that $40,000 is growing even on face value, brother. Like, that's it, man. That is it. And it's just so funny hearing all the other perspectives around it, because it's like, your TSP is your secure money. Why would you put it in real estate? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Like, come on, man. The money's not disappearing. You can do it, and it's okay as long as you make a smart
TSP loan for a 4-unit. Good idea. TSP loan for a Corvette, maybe not so much.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, right. If you're in Wyoming, maybe not. If you're in, like, you know, SoCal, yeah. Maybe. Right? No, I'm kidding. It's terrible. Don't use your TSP loan to buy a car. No, don't do it
to buy the green car. That's a fun one, but. Yeah, I was fortunate with that TSP loan because it's a lot more favorable. Yep. You can kind of do the same thing with an IRA loan, but it's a little bit more favorable for the TSP. So
for sure, and it's all about, you know, it's all about an interest shell game, kind of like you're getting charged what 0.05% interest, and your, you know, let's say your TSP is making 6% per year, right? Okay, cool. Well, so you're in it for 6.05%. So you got to do better than that in your real estate investment. If you're doing better than that, then it's a better option for you, because yes, you look at real estate deals and, you know, you can calculate the numbers by 12, 15, 20% return on investment. Right. So if you're doing better, it just makes more sense. So I know there's a lot of objections out there because, you know, people just fear what they don't understand. But if you're listening to this podcast right now, you obviously understand real estate, or at a bare minimum are interested in learning more about real estate. And this is a tool that you can use. And we have a guest right now, Andre, who has used it. So what I challenge the listeners to do is we're going to go into the bonus round now, but listen for Andre at the end. We're going to ask him for his contact information. Reach out to Andre. Reach out to him. Ask him questions. Thousands of you listening to this right now, reach out to that, to Andre, to our guests, and to all of our guests, and ask them questions. That's what it's about. And like, zero people do it. Well, not zero people. The smart people do it. Not many do. And I mean, that's just, we're just here to provide value. That's it. So yeah, without further ado, Mike, let's hit this bonus round, dude.
That's it, man. Let's get it, man. Let's get it. All right. Four questions for you, brother. And then we'll give you a chance afterwards to talk about what you're doing, man. So number one, what is your favorite book?
Right now, it's going to be Think and Grow Rich. Yeah, definitely a classic. And it's funny. I think the book came out like early 1900s. And I've read it or listened to it a couple of times. And every couple of years when I revisit the book, it strikes different chords. Because you're a different person every couple of years, you're evolving. And there's a couple chapters, they talk about the recession. And and I find like it's so relevant even today. Right now, I'm like, man, this stuff's classic. But basically, it's all about mindset. It starts with mindset. Before you can ever grow rich, you have to start thinking about how to grow rich. And if you think about it long enough and you want it bad enough, your mind starts figuring out ways to make it happen. So that's kind of the awesome part about it. Also, some cool concepts, you know, the mastermind group comes from that. So that's a huge value gainer there. A lot of gems. I love to revisit that book from every couple of years.
Yeah.
Love it, man. It's good stuff, man. I probably got a dozen copies on my desk. So if you get to a Rod Khalif event, anyone, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, that's a great book. And yeah, I think I got to read it again. I read it a couple times, but it's been a minute. So I might need to read that one again. Question number two for you, Andre, who's your big for why?
My biggest hero would be my grandfather, Mariano Acosta. So he unconsciously set the stage for me to get into real estate. I remember being like 9 or 10, and you know, you spend time with your grandparents, and grandpa would take me to his real estate. He had a 16 unit in Los Angeles, and he would do all the work himself. So he would take me down there, and he'd be doing like, and it'd be like 6 a.m. It'd be super early, you know, already teaching you like to wake up early and things like that. And he'd be doing like, doing the paint, all the little maintenance work. But I think that planted a seed when I was a little kid, and he never talked to me about real estate or investments or things like that. But that was a huge factor now when I look back, you know, and he was a Filipino citizen. So he immigrated with a family. He had four kids. You know, my aunts, uncle, my pops. And, you know, imagine that, like, he didn't have, when the immigrants come over, they're not always given the highest paying jobs, right? So he had to definitely start from the bottom, start anew. Right. There's going to be maybe a slight language boundary, things like that. He came to Los Angeles, which is, again, not the cheapest place to live. And by the time, you know, from what I recall, he's always highly respectable. He was well-kept. He had a single family home, and then he had that apartment in Los Angeles, and he did it through hard work and frugality. You know, he prioritized family, and he's very respectable now that I look back. And so when I mentioned the three factors of kind of what got me into real estate, family, you know, VA home loan, and the Rich Dad Poor Dad, you know, purple book, you know, he was a family piece. He definitely led by example, and he didn't even say a word to me about it. He never told me about ROI, or he didn't have a VA home loan. He just did it, you know?
Right. That's incredible, man. I love that. Good stuff there. What, question number three, what do you like to do for fun?
Right on. Well, in sunny Southern California, you know, we're blessed, just like you, Mike. We're a lot of coastline. And so I love to spend time close to the ocean, you know, on the beach. So either I'm relaxing on the beach, running on the beach, I'm getting into free diving and spearfishing, which is fun. I'm not very good at it, but just any excuse to be in the ocean, it's just super relaxing. I love it. I'm even giving surfing another shot. That's
not it. There you go. As easy as they get back on it.
No. A professional faller.
Not at all.
Surfer, but I enjoy it nonetheless. So final question for you, Andre. If you had three nuggets that you could pass on to someone who's listening right now, maybe getting started, they might be a junior enlisted thinking about getting started in real estate. What would those nuggets be, man?
Yeah, number one, what's done a lot for me is asking myself the right questions. So like an example of that is like literally thinking about what you're doing and saying like what's the best real estate investment for me, or what's an ideal real estate investment for me? Is it a single family, a duplex, a triplex? The reason I got into fourplexes to begin with was because I started to ask myself that question. What is the most profitable or lucrative real estate investment that I can use with the VA home loan? How do I do that? So it's asking myself the right questions, first of all. And then once you ask yourself those questions, your mind comes up with answers, and then you start to look for those answers. So you're not looking at every single private property or every property that's in your market. You're looking for specifically that type of property. So it's asking yourself the right questions, because nobody else is necessarily going to do that for you. It's you know, it's taking the time to do that yourself. Number be minimizing my expenses. I think that was huge. Like you said, Kevin, we're, you know, in the 20s, we're just having fun, you know, spending money. It wasn't until I got my 30s that I really started like to budget and be money conscious. And I kind of early on, I fell into that keeping up with the Joneses trap. Mm-hmm. Where I felt like success meant, you know, how big are my rims on the SUV do I have a Louis Vuitton belt or whatnot? You know, those things don't help. They actually do the opposite as a real estate investor, because you spend all that energy, you know, buying things. Believe it or not, spending money takes energy, right? It takes time. Mm-hmm. And that's time that you're taking away that you could be spent, you know, looking for properties, investments, betting yourself, working out, whatever. So it's just eliminating a lot of those distractions as far as my goals. They weren't helping me achieve my goals. Again, asking myself the right questions. Does this purchase get me closer to my goal, or does it do the opposite? So once I minimized my expenses, I realized I had a lot more money to spend on investments to begin with. And like one pro tip, one old senior NCO gave me a long time ago. He actually, you know, in the military, we get paid first and 15th, right? Mm-hmm. Well, he went to finance, and apparently you can do this, and I've done it now myself. He adjusted it so you only get paid once a month on the first of the month. And he would just literally pay off all his bills. He adjusted it all his bills to be paid off on the first. And then you just had that lump of money to, you know, to spend. And it made you more budget conscious. It also, you know, you're like, man, I got this big chunk of money. I can, you know, allot this much for these type of investments, things like that. Because just that simple tweak, again, you're not wasting time paying your bills. I don't want to pay my bills twice a month if I can only have to pay for them once. Mm-hmm. And it kind of made me a little bit more money conscious.
That's a great tip. I love that. I didn't know you can do that.
Love that.
That's really cool, man.
And then the last nugget is for anybody getting out of active duty, I would say consider the Air National Guard as an option, because what it did for me was it gave me more time to think about what I was doing. So like the two big factors, like one, having more time to think and adjust and plan, and then two, controlling your PCSs. So that helped me a lot, because I wasn't moving place to place, moving the family, the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I could focus on whatever market I wanted to for real estate, and I was stable. So the Air National Guard, you know, was super helpful in that sense. And I'll leave my like I mentioned, I am a recruiter. That's my shameless plug. But I'll leave my contact info at the end if anybody wants to call or text. And just explore options, because you definitely want to keep your military service going. a lot of folks, like surprisingly, like the last stat I saw for airmen, for Air Force member, only 10% retired, right? So that means like majority of folks are going to get out, right? So this is a way to continue your service on more agreeable terms that are less stressful. And you can have that pension, you know, when you turn 60. So I know, Mike, you're telling me people are freaking out about like, you know, that's your retirement. That's your retirement. Well, this is another way to add to that retirement, right? And have additional income, you know, when crisis happened or a recession, it's additional job security. So those are my three.
I love that, Andre.
Good stuff, man. Love it. Love it, dude. Love it. Well, thank you so much, Andre, for your time on this, man. And just like you said it, right? So go ahead, talk about how our listeners can get in touch with you and find out more.
Thanks, guys, for having me again. Like I said, I'm a recruiter for the California Air Guard. If anybody wants to just chat about what those options could be like, what it would be like to prioritize their happiness, you know, and focus on whatever that means, like real estate, family, you know, less stress, you know, that and they're thinking about doing it in California, feel free to reach out. My work cell is 805-415-7269. Again, 805-415-7269. You can start by text or give me a call and talk directly, you know, because it'll talk about the different advantages that I've found in my experiences as a real estate investor by doing that.
That's awesome. Your phone's about to blow up. Man.
Love it. Yeah.
I hope so. I love it.
I think you'll be regretting that decision.
That's it.
No, I'm just playing.
No, I love to help. I love to help, man. And I love talking to other vets too, you know, sharing stories and things like that. So it's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff, man. And you know, it's interesting too. And I'll just throw this out there real quick is that, you know, you never know who's listening to this, right? I mean, you could be listening to this right now and you might even be thinking about the military and you never even realized that, hey, you know, why don't I just join the National Guard? I want to, you know, start my finances. I want to start my financial journey early, right? But I do want a little more control of my time and maybe I do want to serve. This could be an incredible way to do just that, right? So if this podcast spoke to you, then yeah, reach out to Andre, man. This could be a good connection. Or if you're looking to transition into something and still have that service, you know, again, this is something that's good. So absolutely, man, we appreciate you coming on the show, adding value for sure. And yeah, we hope, you know, that you're able to gain some good, you know, connections.
Right
from
on.
As well.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. See you next time, dude.
All right.
See you next time.
Outstanding. That was an awesome episode. Thanks so much to our special guest and thanks to you for listening. If you haven't hit the subscribe button yet, make sure you go and do that. Or schedule a call with us by texting ADPI to 444-999 or checking out our website at www.activedutypassiveincome.com to find out how you can get started on your financial freedom journey today. I'll see you guys next week.